morning to each and every one of you here today. Bring you Christian greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is good to be here today. It's good to see each one of you here. And the visitors are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed here as we worship the Lord together. It is a beautiful day to serve the Lord. It's a beautiful day to be able to come together and worship the Lord, and just privilege to be able to be children, sons and daughters of God. And you know, I was just thinking this week, I'd mentioned about last week, I guess my heart's still maybe a little heavy, but I'd mentioned last week about the young man in our community had committed suicide, and we were at his viewing the other evening, and yeah, there's just no hope in a situation like that where someone didn't even acknowledge God, someone didn't even, never made a commitment, never, yeah, just lived a very godless, awful, evil life, I guess you could say. But yeah, I guess along with that, even though my heart is maybe still a little heavy thinking about some of that, my heart is also rejoicing, knowing as sons and daughters of God, as children of God, we can have hope and we can continue to rejoice and to rest and trust in Him. Our council service will be this evening. Just in light of that, I did put the questions in your mailboxes again to be thinking about and pondering on today as we come together to share our testimonies this evening. It's always an encouraging service as we share together and give our testimonies in this way. I always look forward to communion time, a time of, again, reflecting and remembering who Jesus is and what He did for each one of us. Also, as we think of counsel, it's a time for us to examine our lives, to see where we are at in our lives, to see if we are pure before the Lord, and we'll look at a little bit more of that, of why that is important. But as we go through life, there's many exams that we have to take at times. You know, you take your preschool test, as you're going through school, you take your achievement test, a driver's test, a test to, well, first you have to take your permit, a test for your permit to see if you know what everything, all the signs, all the red lights, green lights, what all that means. But then after you've driven for a while, then you have to take a driver's test to see if you do know how to drive, I guess is what it's really for. But yeah, see if you are able to drive. Each test or exam that we to see is where we're at. A preschool test is to see if we're ready to go to school. Achievement test to see if we're making progress in school. A driver's test is to see if we know of everything we need to drive. There's also different times in life we need to take physicals to see if our health is okay, to see if we're still doing okay physically. But as we come together for council meeting, I often like to think about this and to remember that this is scriptural to do this. What is the purpose of council meeting? I believe the purpose is to examine ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 11, very sobering verses where it says it like this, verses 27 to 29, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup, or whosoever shall partake of the communion service unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of our Lord. But let a man examine himself, so that he may eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. If we eat and drink unworthily, we could say it's because of sin that is in our lives, or other thing that is something that is hindering us from placing our trust in the Lord. Also in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5a, it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. So we see here that it is important for us, the seriousness of making sure our hearts are clear before the Lord. Thought too, as Brother John read the scripture reading there, for the scripture reading, just again a reminder that we don't know the day or the hour that Jesus is coming back, and to be ready and to be watching. And I like that verse where he pointed out in verse 13, but he that shall endure, he that is faithful, he that is serving the Lord unto the end, the same shall be saved. Council time is for a time for us to examine ourselves, to look at our own hearts, to see if we are pure before God, to see if there's anything that we are doing that is against the will of God. And yeah, thinking about that, you know, I don't know about each one of yawns, but I hated achievement tests in school. They were just, to me, were a necessary evil. I'm not sure why, but I, not that I didn't do good at it, but there's other things that, yeah, we normally don't like a test that makes us really think, or that makes us, yeah, and here again, I'm sometimes wondering if it isn't that way in our Christian lives. Not that we're not to look at it in that way, but it's something that we should, can I even say, come to the place of enjoy doing in our Christian, our spiritual walk of making sure, maybe not so much just enjoy doing, but recognizing the need for it, for God to open our hearts up before the Lord and to be willing to lay everything down before God. What should we be checking ourselves for? Check if there's any unconfessed sin, sin of commission or sin of omission. There's two different kinds of sins, sins that we would commit, sins that we are doing that is direct violation of something that God had said we shouldn't do or can't do. Sins of omission is something that we are omitting from our life that we maybe aren't doing that God said we should do. Check to see if we are being unfaithful with any of our commitments. Checking to see that we have godly motives, or that we are still allowing God to have first place in our lives. The examination we're thinking of here, or the self-examination, is not only does it require to take back up and take a look at our own lives, but also we are asking God to look at our lives and reveal anything that is within us that would hinder us from serving Him. You know, it's always interesting how God knows everything about us, and we'll look at that a little bit in the scripture we'll be having for the text this morning. God already knows everything about us. He's known everything we did in the past week, in the past month. He knows if we've done anything that we shouldn't have done, maybe committed a sin that we maybe haven't confessed at this point. He knows of the sins that we did commit that we did confess. But yet it's interesting how God will prompt us or convict us, but God never forces us to surrender to Him or confess, to make a confession. But God will prompt us, but He asks us to take that first step of stepping out and saying, God, I'm sorry, or God, there's something here that I need to bring before You. Are we willing to ask God to reveal anything that is in us that is against His will? The title of the message this morning is Search Me and Try Me. We're looking at the text this morning in Psalm 139. We'll be looking at the entire chapter. I'll be reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 24. Psalms 139, verses 1 to 24. Says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy right hand lead me, and Thy, let me back up, verse 10. Even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall uphold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand when I awake. I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred, yet I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Last two verses in the text is what we'll be mainly focusing on today. But you know, we see a lot in this whole chapter here of God's omniscience and his omnipresence. In other words, that he is all-knowing and he is present everywhere. The psalmist David, I mean, if you were listening, if you understood what I was reading there, there's really nowhere that you can escape that God can't see you or don't know what you're doing. You know, if you go out in the middle of a pitch black night, I don't know if you've ever been anywhere that you can't literally see. The only place that I can think of is we have a cave there on our farm. And if we go down in there, it's been a couple years since I've been down, but if you turn all the flashlights off, you cannot see a thing. I mean, there is absolutely, you can hold your hand any distance from your face and you cannot see a thing. It is complete pitch black darkness. But even in from what the psalmist David is saying here, even in that situation, God still sees you and knows what is happening and what is going on. He is everywhere. There is nowhere that he is not. He sees everything. There is nothing that you can hide from him. Verse 2 and 3 kind of brings out some of that. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. I won't go through all the other verses, but going down through there, it talks about in darkness, you cannot hide from him. And that he sees as the darkness and the light there at the end of verse 12. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, or to, they're both alike to God. As I said, we'll be focusing mainly on the last two verses. We see here it's pretty straightforward and self-explanatory, but we see David asking God to do three things for him. Search him and try him and lead him. Part one we'll be looking at is search me. He sees there in the beginning of verse 23, it says, search me and know my heart. He's basically saying to God to look in my life, look for anything that maybe is there. Know my heart. You know, why would he say know my heart? The heart is where everything that we do in life comes from within our heart. If you think about it, you know, there's times you can maybe hide some things that are going on in your heart, but they will eventually come out. Investigate my life. Find everything out about me. The reality is, and David knows that, and I've already mentioned a little bit about that, but in verse 1, he brought out there, he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. So there we see him saying, you've already know me, but here at the end of the last two verses, we see David specifically asking him to put him to the test, so to speak. So he's not asking God to do something that he's already not doing. And I think that's the same for us as individuals. You know, we kind of get the mentality as a child growing up, you know, you think of if your parents didn't find something out, you got away with it. And we kind of carry that mentality into adulthood sometimes. Well, if nobody finds out, we've kind of gotten away with it. But that's not really true. God knows everything that is going on and sees everything that is happening. David wants God to reveal to him anything that is against his will. Are we willing to make that prayer this morning? Are we willing to come before God and open up our hearts and say, God, if there's anything in my heart, if there's anything in my life, I want you to search me and to know my heart. Basically, what David is saying here is, Lord, I want to be right with you. I want to have a good and pure and right relationship with you. Show me if there's anything that is in my life that is hindering that. Somebody said about it like this. Imagine if you had a team of four people sitting around you, excluding any of your family members, to pay you a visit right now in four places of your home, your house, your car, your office, or your computer. So we just sent that team along with a camera crew, and they would have complete access to all of these areas right now, complete freedom to look at anything, anywhere, and project everything that they find up on a screen for all of us to see. Who would be the first of us to volunteer? What would we see if this were to happen? What might surprise us? What would make us maybe cringe? What would we see if we looked inside your car? What would we see if we looked inside your computers? What files have you downloaded that you might be embarrassed to put up on this screen? You know, that might sound a little whatever, but really that's what God is doing all the time. I guess I'm going to just be open and honest here this morning. My heart's a little heavy too. There was just another man that's been in the ministry for many, many years, not connected to BMA, but just came out in the past couple months that he's been abusing girls for many, many years. And I'm sorry, but it makes me angry in a righteous indignation way, if you want to be honest. Not just because of the damage that he's done, but the damage that it does to the Christian community. And men and brothers here this morning, if we need to be careful that we are being pure and holy before God, and we are opening up our hearts and being honest before God and our fellow brothers, and not just men, women as well, we need to be careful that we are being open and honest before God. We all face, I'm not wanting us to feel guilty or place any guilt on us for the thoughts that go through our minds, because Satan places wrong thoughts in everybody's mind. But what we do with them thoughts is what we're thinking about here this morning. I believe that what we see David asking God to do is almost as if David is basically saying, as I mentioned a little bit before, but open up my heart, but put a window into my heart, into my chest, and tell me what you see. Are we willing to do that before the Lord? Proverbs 27:19 says, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Someone once said, a good man desires to know the worst of himself. You know, there's times I think in the scripture reading Brother John read, talked about men being deceived, or somewhere this morning that was brought up. You know, there's times we get deceived where we don't recognize and realize the deception that Satan has brought into our hearts, and that is why it's important to do what we're talking about this morning. It's only when we come to the place where we realize that we still need God in our lives on a continual basis, that I'm not perfect. There's always something in my life, whether I need to grow, whether I need to change, whether I need to continue to walk in newness of life. They say that the first step for a drug addict or to an alcoholic to be able to get help is to acknowledge that they have a problem or they have a need. You know, you can drag an alcoholic to all kinds of places to try to find him help, but if he isn't willing to come to the place of recognizing what he's doing and that he has a need, you'll never be able to get him the help that he needs. And that is the same for each one of us today. Maybe we're at a place right now in our lives where everything is okay. And you would say to God, God, I know that in my life, my heart is right before you. But I know I'm not perfect, and sooner or later I'm going to be tempted. You know, you could list many things, whether it's bitterness, angerness, unforgiveness, wrong thoughts, gossip. But God, please help me to be prepared to do what is right in those situations. Thinking about that, are we willing to be brothers and sisters in the Lord of holding each other accountable? You know, there's times that we see things happening in the church, or maybe the church at large, or maybe things have happened in our past in the church that wasn't always the way it should have been. But I read an article that said, with all of it, talking about the church as a whole, with all of its deficiencies and mistakes, sometimes the beauty of the church is concealed. Nevertheless, the local church is still God's way of meeting the needs of all mankind. As Christians, we are to endorse the church, support it with eagerness, and find our spiritual strength and fellowship there. As members of the church at large, we are directed to spread the message of salvation to the whole world. You know, there's times when we go through trying situations. I'm just thinking here of some of the things that I mentioned about and some other things. You know, there's nobody perfect. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect individual. And there's times that we can be discouraged, but let's not be discouraged, but continue to stay encouraged, to continue to help one another along the way. Maybe a little bit more. It is through the church that the believer can receive the kind of teaching and accountability, encouragement that is necessary for him to stand firm in his commitment to Christ. God intended that the church provide that kind of environment where an uncompromising life can thrive. Now he has two verses here, Ephesians 2:20-22, saying, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is fitly framed together and growing in the holy temple of the Lord, in whom we are also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So thinking about some of that, are we willing, first of all, to open our hearts up for God to search us and to know our hearts? Are we willing to be accountable to one another for God to reveal to us sometimes through our brothers and sisters in the Lord in areas that we maybe need to change? Part two we want to look at is try me. See that there in the middle of verse 23, try me and know my thoughts. We could say, he's almost saying here, cross-examine me or put me to the test. You know, when you put somebody on, when somebody is being accused of something and you bring them before a judge and you have a juror, you usually have cross-examination. You have people trying to come at different angles of proving why this person is maybe guilty or proving why they are maybe innocent. And I know this is maybe a little bit different here because you don't have different people proving this and proving that, but I think it's still the same of cross-examining to show me and to try me and to know my thoughts. It's not just an outward action. Ask me about the things I think about. Reveal to me what my intentions are, what passes through my mind, the images that are burned into my memory that I dwelled on. Put me to the test. Are we willing, as I've said many other times, are we willing to be men and women of integrity and uprightness and honesty? You know, we know Job, where the God said he was a man after God's own heart, thinking about integrity and uprightness and honesty. We all know the story of Job very well. We know that there was no man on this earth that was perfect other than Jesus. But we know that there's a few men in Scripture where it talks about they were what David, God called him a man after his own heart. But that say that David was perfect? Absolutely not, because we know of the sins that he committed, and some of them were very awful and very evil. The Bible says that Job was a perfect man. There was one who was upright. There was none like him. But did that mean that he never did anything wrong? No, that did not mean that. But they were men and women, or the two we're talking about, were men of integrity. Men who could stand before God and not have to worry about what God might see. You know, I had to think of just a little bit as I was studying about Nathan when he came to David and revealed to him his sin or made him accountable for his sin. David already knew what his sin was, but made him accountable for his sin and how David instantly was repentant and how he just fell before the Lord And yeah, we know the whole story. I'm not going to go into it there. You know, thinking about some of that, God has given each one of us a freedom of choice, and it's because of that freedom of choice that we get ourselves into trouble. We're intelligent beings many times, but often that intelligence is canceled out by our free will, and that's not original with me. I was thinking about that as I wrote that down, and thinking about that, you know, We have the ability to think, we have the ability to process things in life, we have the ability to make choices. But many times it's that intelligence that gets us into trouble when we start not recognizing our dependency and our need for God to be in control of our lives. There's times in life that we make wrong choices and then regret what we've done. L- little bit of out of a devotional that I had a while back. It said, Satan's promises everything we want, but he gives us little except heartache and ruin. Human nature is such that it tends to believe Satan's promises, but fails to consider the destruction they lead to. In the time between our birth and the final call of God at death, it is up to us to determine what our end will be. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. Let us seriously consider our life. Do we do the things now that we once felt were wrong? Do we entertain thoughts that we know are evil? Do we have bitter feelings toward anyone? Are we doing anything that we know is displeasing to God? If our answer is yes to any of these questions, we are being drawn into the trap that Satan is setting for us. How will it end? When we ask God to search us and try us and reveal to us what's going on inside, that's not saying that it's going to make us perfect people, but it's saying we are wanting to be right with God. The last part we'll look at yet is lead me. The end of verse 24. Well, there we see in the very beginning of verse 24, why is asking God to try him and know his thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then in the end of verse 24, lead me in the way of everlasting. It's basically saying, God, I'm willing for you to search me. I'm wanting you to try me. But now, as that process is going on in life, continue to lead me in the way of everlasting. Question that came to my mind, do we want God to lead us today? And if not, why not? A couple other verses thinking about when David was asking God to lead him. Psalms 5 verse 8 says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before me. Verse 25:5, lead me in thy truth and teach me. Here he's saying, lead me in the ways of truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 27:11, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in the plain path. Psalm 31:3, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Psalm 43:3, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, unto thy tabernacle. Won't read all of them I have here, but Psalm 139:10. Actually, I should read the verse before that, but I don't have that and wrote down. But that's in our text here. Psalm, basically, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me. It's basically saying, regardless of where I'm at, you will continue to lead me. Then verse Psalm 143:10, yeah, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. You know, I had to think of Psalm 23. Is another portion of scripture that we were taught, probably one of the first scriptures we were read or taught, maybe not the complete first, but one of the first that we memorized. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. There is where he brings out, whenever we do come to the Lord in repentance, he restores our soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 3, there in Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, is why we are asking God to do what we're asking God to do. Are we willing to come before the Lord and ask him to lead us? Are we willing to ask God to search us and to try us and to know our hearts and to see if there's any wicked way in us? You know, another thing that came to my mind as I was thinking about some of this, are we ever ashamed of being a Christian? To my shame as a young man, there was times I maybe didn't want to be associated as a Christian. And probably that was before I was a Christian, maybe even at times after I was a Christian. But looking back at that was to my shame, or is to my shame. Asinius quoted, said, "We should never be ashamed of being different from the world. Rather, we should be alarmed if we aren't." Think about that for a moment. Are we willing to do what God wants us to do? So as we think about some of this, as we go throughout our day today, and not just today, but I think every day of our lives, we should continue to remember to ask God to search us and to try us. See if there's any wicked way in us. You know, you could start listing all kinds of things, whether it's relational, whether it's sins of omission, whether it's sins of commission. You know, there's lots of things we could continue to talk about. But ask God to search us and to try us and to know us. But then if along with that, we need to continue to ask God to continue to lead us in the ways of everlasting. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.